with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Amen. We only have one chance today. We might as well have church. I like to say we canceled service and had church. We just had some church. Come on now. It's all right. Have a good time in the house of the Lord. Amen. Brother David, I'll let you use that. That's free. That's all. You can have that. When you become a pastor, you can say that. And everybody will shake their head at you too. Amen. Praise God. Exodus 12 and 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And then verse 7 it says, and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Verse 12, this is the reason they were doing that. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. This is what we celebrate as the Passover. And will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I come to smite the land of Egypt. And this morning, I just want to preach on this beautiful Father's Day a message I've entitled, A Lamb for Every House. A Lamb for Every House. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, I thank you for this privilege today that we could come into the house of the Lord, that we could hear the voice of God today to touch our hearts. Lord, I pray for every home. Lord, I pray for every father. I pray for our single mothers today. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bless every home with your power, that your blood would be manifested there, Lord, that it would be upon every household, that it would be upon every heart, that it would be a symbol for every child and every young person. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord and his word. Praise God. A lamb for every house. God bless you. You may be seated. It is so important for us to study the Old Testament because the Old Testament is a type and shadow of spiritual things in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, things were played out in the physical realm so that they could represent things that are played out in the spiritual realm in the New Testament. And so when we study this event we call the Passover, this was the culmination of God's judgment on Egypt. We see that he sent Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And of course, Pharaoh did not want to let go of his labor force. And so he kept holding on to them. And then one plague after another would come upon Egypt. And the Bible would say that the Pharaoh would call in Moses, say, okay, I can't take any more. They can go. And he would deal with them. And sometimes he would say, well, they can go, but they can't take their children. They can go, but they can't take their cattle. He was trying to negotiate with them. But every time, the Bible also says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, why would God harden Pharaoh's heart when he wanted Pharaoh to let his people go? It was because God was giving us a message for today in the Old Testament revelation. He was trying to get them to this final plague that came upon Egypt, and we call it the Passover. The reason we call it that is because God gave a command to the children of Israel that every head of a household was supposed to go find a lamb and to kill that lamb and to prepare it in such a way. And then take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost, on each side of the door, and then over the lintel, the top part of the door, that the blood would be represented there. And that night when the death angel came over Egypt, that it would come and it would destroy every firstborn of the household. And if the blood was there, as we read in our text today, that the blood would be a token. And when the angel saw the blood, that he would pass over that house and there would be no judgment come to that house. The children would be safe. The animals would be safe. And so here we are in this New Testament, and now we do not have to physically go out and kill a lamb. But thankfully, we have a lamb for sinners slain, a sacrifice that Jesus made for us. He was the spotless lamb. He was the one that gave it all for us so that we could be saved. And so in this Old Testament story, we see as the Father would obey the word that came from Moses and to the people of Israel. He went out and he found the lamb and he brought it and he began to prepare it so he would kill it and they would begin to dress it to be cooked and he would take the lamb. I don't know about you, but I've been around enough children and have kids of my own. Kids love to ask questions. You know, why does a zebra have stripes, you know? Why do the clouds float in the sky? Why is the sky blue? Why are you doing that, Daddy? Where are you going? What are you doing? You kind of get tired of questions. You want to change your name from Daddy to something else so that you don't have to hear it anymore. And, all those days, sometimes we get past those days and we miss them. But I remember being frustrated. Okay, all right, no more questions tonight. You've reached your quota. You can't ask any more questions. But I can imagine that as this process was taking place, that the Father went to get the lamb and began to prepare it. And this was all new to them, right? Because they were here in Egypt in bondage. There was not a normal practice of worship. There was not going to the temple. There was not the sacrifices being made, all of that on a normal basis. And so this was a very odd thing to them. And I can just imagine the kids say, "Well, Daddy, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why are you killing the lamb? What is the blood for? Why are you putting it on the doorpost? And why are you putting it over the door, Daddy? What are you doing? And as the Father would reach down to the children and maybe get down on their level and say, "Look, this is for our protection. Because God is about to set us free from Egypt. And when He sets us free, this blood is going to be applied to our household. And this is going to keep us safe." And as he began to explain what was going on, that the angel would come over, and when the angel saw the blood, that you would be safe. You don't have to worry tonight because I'm your dad, I'm your father, and I've prepared, I've obeyed God. And as long as we stay right in here, we're going to be safe. And I can imagine the kid just running back in, asking one more question. When they begin to feel this night begin to come to its culmination, and all the things that were going on that night, and they could hear the wails and the cries coming up all over Egypt from people that found their children dead and their cattle dead and their sheep dead, all of the things that they were finding on this terrible night. I can imagine that this child ran back to Daddy and said, "Hey, Daddy, is the blood still there? Is the blood still there?" And so here we are in this New Testament era. Thankfully, we do not have to offer blood sacrifice. We do not have to kill. We do not have to prepare. But oh, there is still a responsibility for our households today. And we still must have the blood applied to our lives. But it's not applied in a physical sense to the doorpost and to the lintel. But oh, it's applied through repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. What a privilege it is. And when we train up our children, "Daddy, why are we going to church?" Well, we're going to apply the blood today. Why are we going to Sunday school? It's because we're learning about the Word of God today. "Daddy, why do you worship?" Because God has set us free. He has redeemed us. "Daddy, why are you giving in the offering?" Oh, it's because I owe Him so much. I worship as a cheerful giver. "Daddy, why are we doing this? And why are we doing that?" Oh, it's because God has redeemed us from a life of sin. Daddy, why are we so serious about the house of God? It's because our soul is going to last forever, son. Our soul is going to last forever, daughter. We have got to go to the house of God. We have got to be a part of the kingdom. It's important. Amen. It's important. I've got to make sure that my children know what it's like to be in the presence of God. I don't want my children just to know how to go through a church door. But I want my children to know what it means to be in the presence of God. I want my children to know what it looks like to see their father with tears in his eyes, with his hands lifted, with his lips quivering, and his tongue speaking another language that he did not learn on his own. I want my children to know what it looks like to see their father dancing before the Lord, not worrying about what everybody else thinks, but all lifting up the name of Jesus. I want them to know. And I tell you today, I know we have some great single mothers in this church. And I want you to know that we are here for you. The church is here for you. And I want you to know that me as a pastor and these wonderful men of God that are around this place, oh, you can point them. Hey, that's the way a man is supposed to worship. That's the way a man is supposed to serve God. And we want to fill in the gap for you because we know it's so important. It's so important that we teach our children. Deuteronomy 6 in verse 7 says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." What is he talking about? He's talking about the commandments. "And they shall talk of them when thou sittest in that house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Verse 12 says, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage." Verse 19, "To cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord has spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What meanest these testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord God hath commanded you?" Verse 23, "And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers." We are to teach our children that God has brought us out of the world, not to bring us into bondage, not to bring us into some kind of trap, into some kind of stronghold, but he has brought us out of the world to bring us in to his presence. He has brought us out of sin to bring us in to holiness. He has brought us out of bondage to bring us into freedom. And so we've got to explain that to our children. The reason we are here is because God has set us free. Amen. 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 In Joshua, he commanded Joshua, "When you pass through Jordan, I want the congregation, I want one leader from every tribe to pick up a stone and to carry it to the other side. And I want you to set it up." And he called it a memorial. He said, "I want you to set it up as a memorial." And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then we tell them, hey, this river right here that's running so fast, when I was your age, we came to the other side and God stopped it. And we walked across on dry ground. And we picked up these stones." You see, look at these stones, children. I want you to notice that these stones are smooth. I want you to notice all the other stones that are laying around here. They're rough. They're harsh. They're like sandpaper. They've got rough edges and rough corners on them. And the difference between those and these is that these came from the middle of the river. Our leaders picked them up and carried them out as we were walking across on dry land, and that's why they look different. And I want to remind you, son, I want to tell you, daughter, that just as God did that for us, just as he brought us across the Jordan, he can bring you out. He can He can stop any obstacle from being in your way. He can move it. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. That's what these stones mean. I want you to know that He brought us out of Egypt a long time ago so that He could bring us into the promised land. And so just as we do today, when we come into the house of God and you see somebody take off running, if you see somebody lifting up their hands, you see them bowing down, you see them rolling on the ground, you see them doing all sorts of things to worship God, and your children say, "Oh, Daddy, what does all this mean?" And you can say, "Hey, they once were lost, but now they're found." You see that man that's running? He used to be on drugs. He used to be addicted. But oh, now, because the Lamb was slain and the blood was shed, now he can run in freedom, celebrating the thing that God did for him. "Daddy, what does this mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? Why do we sing and why do we worship? And why does Brother Shindall get so excited and holler and scream and jump up and down?" It's because He wants us to know that the Word of God is still real. The Word of God is still true. What mean these stones? Oh, hallelujah. We need to train our children that the house of God is not something we do or go to when it's convenient. We need to train our children that we go to the house of God when the doors are open and we build everything else around it. We need to train our children to respect the house of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. My family taught me to respect the house of God. Man, if I mess something up, if I put my feet on the chairs, if I kick the walls, I would get in trouble. Why? Because I know it's just a building, but there's something different when we respect the house of God. This is where we meet God. Amen. I'm here during the week, you know, office hours, and I'll be carrying coffee or whatever out of my office into the foyer. And I'll need to come in here for something. And I'm 47 years old and nobody's around and I can still do whatever I want to do. But you know what I do? I find me a table, the cabinet out here, and I set my coffee down so that I can come into the sanctuary. Now there's nothing thou shalt in Scripture about that, but it's just a reverence. It's an understanding that I reverence the house of God. And there's some things that I'm not going to bring in here. There's some things I'm not going to do in here. Why? Because I reverence the house of God. "Daddy, why are you so serious about it?" It's because that's where I met Jesus. It's because that's where I met Jesus. Why are you so serious about it? It's because that's where I went down in the waters of baptism. "Why are you so serious about it, Daddy?" It's because it's life and death. This is where I reside, because the future is found here. Eternity is found here. Amen. Amen. So let this be a sign among you when your children ask, "What means these stones?" You tell them, "God brought us out." Isaiah 38 and 19 said, the living, he will praise you as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known your truth. The Father to the children, the mother to the children. It is important for us to pass down this truth. In Psalm 71 and 18, it says, "And now that I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I have shown your strength to this generation. Also your power to everyone who is coming on after me." Basically, he was saying in Psalm 71 and 18, "Lord, let me live to show my sons. Let me live." And so today, as a father to my children, as a pastor to your hearts today, let me say, find God and hold on to Him. Be faithful to God, to His house, and to His Word. Every time you get a chance, praise Him more than you did before. before. Every time you get the opportunity, pray unto Him. Have a relationship with Him. Make sure our children and our young people know that men are worshiping men. Amen. I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Amen. If we're going to have a powerful move of God, we have to be people of prayer and worship. Amen. The legacy that I want to leave to my children today is a legacy of truth. It's a legacy of spiritual strength. It's a legacy of the power of God flowing through the lives of men and women. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I do not want my children just to have some casual relationship with church. I don't want them to wake up on Sunday morning and think, oh, we have to go to church. But I want them to wake up on Sunday morning and think, wow, we get to go to church. I remember when I was young in my just simplistic way of thinking. You know, for school, Monday through Friday, we kids rode the bus, and so we would have to get up really early because the bus would show up around 6:30, especially when we got up a little later. I think this high school, Brother Clinton and I went to the same high school. We graduated together. Isn't that crazy? He's so young. It was just a couple days ago. But I remember, I think high school started like at 7:30. It started early. And so I remember going out to the bus stop, and it would be dark most mornings. And in the wintertime, it was cold, and there was a house across the street, and that's where the bus would pick us up. And thankfully, whoever lived in that house liked to dry their clothes that morning. So when it was really cold, we'd get over under the dryer vent. Lint and all, we just get it on us. It didn't matter. We just wanted to be warm. But it was dark when I got up. It was dark when I left the house. And so I remember in my simplistic thought process that Sunday morning, we got there early, but we didn't have to leave the house as early as we did on school days. And so on Sunday morning, in my simplistic way of thinking, the sun was brighter. And that's why it was called Sunday. And so I would wake up, and instead of it being dark outside my window, the sun would be beaming through into my room. And my dad would come knock on the door and say, hey, it's time to get up. We're going to church. And from behind him, I could smell either one of two things. I could smell cinnamon rolls or biscuits. Because that's what my mama would do on Sunday morning, either make cinnamon rolls or biscuits. And I didn't really care either one. I liked both, obviously. But I would smell that as he opened the door, and then I would hear from this giant piece of furniture in our living room. It was like this wide. It was ornate wood. And you slid it one direction, and there was a radio down there, young men, and you had to turn the dial, and the little plastic red line would move down the dial. And you'd have to kind of get it. Wait, there it is. And on the other end, you slide the wood the other way, and down there was a turntable. So records, vinyl, old. I'm old. And so behind him, when he would open that door, every Sunday morning, sun would be beaming through my window. The smell of cinnamon rolls or biscuits would be coming down the hallway. And on those same airwaves coming down the hallway would be the strains of gospel music being played through my house. And oh, what I wouldn't give for one morning to wake up just one more time. hear my daddy knock on the door and hear those tunes coming down my hall. Sunday was a special day because I knew that I was going to go to Sunday school and I was going to learn things like I'm a one God apostolic tongue talking holy roller born again heaven bound believer in the liberated power of Jesus' name. I would learn things like grin again, gang, get gung-ho about Jesus. Smile sweetly, sister, so you send your sorrows swiftly away. I would run into the arms of teachers that loved me, prayed for me, cared for me. I'd walk out with little trinkets in my pockets for saying my memory verse. And I would sit on the front row like these young ladies and these young men were doing. And I knew that when my pastor got through preaching, that I could go find an altar like I did on February 27th, 1982. And I gave myself completely to the Lord. I lifted up my hands and I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. There never was a question in my house, are we going to church? There's no question. Don't even ask. You don't have to. It's always yes. Oh, it's Sunday night. Are we going? It's always yes. It's Wednesday night. Oh, you don't have to ask. It's always yes. What was my daddy doing? My daddy was painting the doorpost. He's painting the lintel. Daddy, what are you doing? We're going to church. Daddy, what are you doing? Why are you crying, Daddy? It's because the music's playing. God is moving. Daddy, why are you lifting your hands? It's because I feel the Holy Ghost. Daddy, why are you going to the altar? It's because the pastor just preached the truth and I got to respond to it, Daddy. Why are you doing that, Daddy? It's because I'm painting the doorpost. I'm painting the lintel. Because every house has to have a lamb. Oh, halaboshoriyandakayadama. Oh, can we stand in this place right now? I have no greater joy than my children walk in truth. I have no greater joy. I want to paint the doorpost. I want to paint the lintel of my house. I want to set an example of worship and prayer and love, passion for the things of God. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, let me live long enough to show my sons and my daughters what God is really all about. Amen. Let us live long enough to transfer these treasures to our children. A lamb for every house. And his name is Jesus. Can we recommit to him today? If you're here and you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can have it before you leave this house today. If you need healing, the blood still flows for healing. If you need peace, you can touch your mind today. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, you are so faithful to me, oh God. You are so good to me, oh God. Oh, you are so real to me, God. Lord, I pray that you'd be real to these children. Be so real to these youth, Lord. Oh, that they would not be distracted by the things of this world, God. Oh, nothing else matters except you, Lord. Because when you're in your proper place, everything falls in its rightful place. Oh, could we come to this altar? Could we give ourselves again? Could we repent all over again? Let's apply the blood to our lives. Oh, in the name of Jesus, touch us today. Touch us today. Let the church be your father. If you don't have a father here today, if they pass on, let the church be a father. Lord, let the ministry of this church be an example. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Be so real to us today. Be so real to us today. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus.